Good morning to everyone. Mr. Apple, good morning to you.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, my name is Mark Rappel. I represent the appellant in this case, Jonathan Farah. This is a case that originated in the County Court of Lancaster County, Nebraska. The lower court, the county court, did find that a seizure occurred. However, the seizure was justified under the community caretaking exception to the warrant requirement. The matter was appealed to the Lancaster County District Court. Lancaster County District Court affirmed the county court. The matter then proceeded to the Court of Appeals. And in a split decision, the majority of the Nebraska Court of Appeals did find that the seizure was justified under the community caretaking exception to the warrant requirement. This court then granted further review. We are asking the court to find that the Court of Appeals did err in affirming the district court's affirmance of the county court. This is kind of an unusual fact pattern where Mr. Rivera was driving his vehicle on a paved, asphalted access road in a Area 4 of Branch Stoke Recreational Area. Conservation Officer Shepler's vehicle was parked on the paved portion of the roadway. The manner in which his vehicle was parked made it impossible for any vehicles to pass either the left or right of Shepler's cruiser without going onto the dirt roads. Interestingly enough, it is not illegal in this area for one to drive on the dirt roads. It's common in this area with people accessing campsites and whatnot. Officer Shepler had stopped his cruiser. There was some suggestion there was a disturbance between pedestrians on the left and right side of the paved roadway. The defendant in this case pulled up behind, parked, stopped for a brief second, and began to proceed to the right side of Shepler's cruiser. Shepler was concerned about some pedestrians 15 to 20 feet ahead of the vehicle.
So was the trooper trying to protect those individuals? Was that his role?
Your Honor, his articulated role for getting out and making contact with Mr. Rivera was to stop what he described as a dangerous situation. However, it's our position that the facts and circumstances surrounding the situation and the totality of the circumstances, the objective factors, do not lead to a reasonable conclusion that anyone was in any sort of danger. And what the problem with what the lower court, the Court of Appeals, did is, first off, they applied the community caretaking exception very, very broadly. And that absolutely contradicts the strict mandate that this court implemented.
Do we have to put a label on the trooper's actions? Do we have to put it into a category, or do we just use common sense?
Judge, I do think this falls, I don't know what label you want to give it, but I believe that if you look at the description of what community caretaking means and the non-law enforcement function of not investigating crimes but protecting the public, this fits squarely into the definition of what a community caretaking exception would mean. And if that's the case, which I believe that the record supports, it requires a very narrow and careful application of that exception. And that's what makes the community caretaking exception unique to all the other exceptions to the warrant requirement, is this explicit mandate that it be narrowly and carefully applied. And that wasn't done in this case. And the dissenting opinion articulated this as well, that this was far from a narrow application. This was a very broad, sweeping application. In fact, the lower court made a very concerning statement.
Well, is your ultimate argument that no trooper could ever stop a car and talk to the person inside the car in this kind of a situation?
No, Your Honor, that's not my position. I think there are situations in which officers may be justified in stopping somebody and making sure that they're not doing things that's going to endanger people. But there's two important factors to that. One, the objective indicators need to be that someone was actually in danger. And if you look at Mr. Rivera's driving behavior leading up to this point, the totality of all the objective indicators indicate that there was no dangerous situation that was present in the present case.
Counsel, was there even a stop here? Was there an officer stop at all? And if your position is that there was a stop or there was a seizure, which of the trial court's factual findings do you direct us to?
Judge, there was a seizure, and the lower court clearly made that finding. And if you look at the lower court's sentencing order on page 5, the lower court made a specific factual finding.
At the sentencing or at the time of the motion to suppress?
At the time of the motion to suppress. On page 5, Judge Fox's order, it says, by making contact with the defendant and causing the defendant to stop his truck before proceeding toward the group, Officer Shepard's response to the situation was reasonable. So the lower court made an explicit factual finding in the order overruling the motion to suppress that Officer Shepler's action caused Mr. Rivera to stop his vehicle.
Was that in the judge's factual findings or really later on in the analysis, the legal analysis?
In terms of order, I would argue it's in the legal analysis, but it's still a factual finding. I think he made both an explicit factual finding. That's a factual finding. Whether it's in the legal analysis or not, he found, as a matter of fact, that Officer Shepard stopped the defendant's vehicle. He also made an implied finding of fact by even addressing the community caretaking exception. If it wasn't a seizure, then why go through a 2 or 3 page analysis as to why the community caretaking exception was justified if it wasn't a seizure?
Why wasn't this just a simple tier one encounter? Let me first ask you before we jump to that. Do you disagree with the express factual findings that the trial court made in the findings section of the order, specifically where he described Rivera's truck was attempting to pass on the passenger's side, then stopped. The officer did not step out in front of the truck as it was attempting to pass. At no time did the officer activate the emergency overhead lights or siren, nor did he honk the horn of the patrol pickup to get Rivera to stop his truck. The officer did not draw or display his gun. Rivera's truck was not blocked in by the patrol pickup and was able to keep driving forward if it avoided the people in the area. Do you disagree with any of those findings?
Judge, I believe all those findings could exist and a seizure still could have occurred.
Well, that isn't... Well, let's turn to my specific question. The evidence was disputed as to whether the officer made any gesture about stopping. These findings sound more like he didn't make a gesture than he did make a gesture. But even if he did make a gesture, how is this any different than the policeman who's walking down the street and says, "Hey, just a second, I want to ask you a question." Sounds to me like a classic tier one encounter. What's wrong with that analysis?
Judge, I do believe there was a factual dispute. Mr. Rivera testified that it was a gesture, and the officer said he didn't remember, but it's possible that he did make such a gesture. And the court, of course, the lower court was in a position to assess credibility since they were actually watching the witnesses testify. And so given that factual dispute, again, with everything you've said, even if those factual findings are clear, I do believe it's still an explicit factual finding. I think the difference in this case, again, Judge, is this is a vehicle. I think a vehicle situation where you stop an actual vehicle moving, although slowly it was still moving, unlike some of the other cases where this court has found no seizure, like Gilliam and like Casillas, this vehicle was still moving. If one is driving around a patrol cruiser that stopped, essentially blocking the road, and they have no choice to go but left or right, and either of those require them to leave the roadway, and an officer gets out with a badge, a uniform, a gun, and gets out and walks towards the front of the vehicle and makes a gesture to stop them, which I believe we could believe there's an implicit finding of fact in that scenario, then I think that would be a seizure. That's
so
different than...
If I'm creeping down the street in Lincoln towards a stoplight, and an officer walks out into the street, waves at me, and I roll down my window and talk to him, I've been seized?
Under the circumstances, that's a little different scenario than this, I would argue. With blocking a roadway and forcing the person to drive around them, the blocking of the roadway could be a show of force in and of itself. The act of getting out, walking around, and then stopping, the only way your scenario, there's nothing necessarily that the person could do. I mean, of course, they didn't have to roll down their window, I suppose. But again, I don't think your factual scenario matches up with the facts of this case.
If we conclude that this started as a tier one encounter, where does that take us?
Then obviously the community caretaking analysis wouldn't be applicable.
Correct.
But again, I think the totality of circumstances, and I would also argue that the Court of Appeals didn't address that issue because it wasn't assigned as error or even addressed by the district court. And when the county attorney's office took it up to the district court, that they never argued that it was a tier one, or that the lower court erred in finding it to be a tier one encounter. So I would argue that in the case cited by the Court of Appeals, the state versus, it's in their order, they refused to address that issue because it wasn't argued in the lower court, the district court. So I'd ask to reserve my remaining time.
Well, let me ask you just one question. If the vehicle were not moving and the officer walked up and talked to the driver, would that be a different situation?
Potentially, yes. I mean, again, the person's already stopped. I think that'd be more similar to Justice Castle's question. But with the vehicle actually moving, although slowly, it was still moving, and so that is a seizure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Klein, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice. I'm Kimberly Klein, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state in this matter. Your Honors, I believe that the Court of Appeals came to the right result, affirming the district court, which affirmed the county court, but I believe it's for the wrong reason. I think this is kind of a classic Tier 1 contact. As you look back at the evidence, I think the evidence induced, even the county court's factual findings, clearly support that. What the evidence in the record shows is that Scheffler and Sorensen were basically on routine patrol in the park. They saw a crowd of people on either side of the little asphalt road that they were on. Sorensen got out to investigate because it appeared to him there was a brawl just about to take place, and Scheffler stayed with the truck and hauled it in and did the administrative stuff that goes with a stop. As he was sitting there, Scheffler saw this pickup truck approach him from behind, and it got really close. He said then stopped, pulled off the road on the right side of his Game and Parks truck. He said that because this approaching truck was 15 to 20 feet from the crowd of people and his partner that was down dealing with the people, he was concerned that this person did not see these people and he was going to go back and approach them and approach the driver.
How could he not see the people? Did he have his lights on?
He had his lights on.
And there's a crowd of people right in front of the truck?
Well, Rivera said he didn't see a crowd of people there when he testified. So he didn't see a crowd of people in front of him, which is a little disturbing.
Okay.
And Scheffler said he wanted to make sure that the driver stopped before he got to the crowd of people down there when his partner was attempting to calm down. When Rivera testified, he said he called him a park official. He said he motioned for me to stop, and then he clarified that a little. He said what I really saw was the guy had his hand up by his head, and he was under the impression that the man was signaling him to stop. Frankly, I think if you're walking toward a car with the headlights on, your hand's going to be up like this to block the light from the headlights so you can see where you're going and see if there's anything untoward going on.
What do you think of the statement that opposing counsel has read to us from page 5 of the order? Although it may not be a, quote, finding of fact that the defendant was caused to stop?
Your Honor, whether he was caused to stop or whether he was simply seized, if you will, I think this is still, the record might support it. It also might support an alternate, because the record is somewhat unclear on this. Even the defendant himself is somewhat unclear on this. Even if if Rivera mistakenly thought he was being signaled to stop, which Scheffler said he was not, the fact of the matter is it appears that the vehicle stopped and Scheffler approached him with the simple intention of saying, hey, if you wait just a minute, I'll move my truck off to the side so you don't have to go clear out around me on the right, which is what Rivera was attempting to do. I'll just let you go past me on the left. He said there was room for him to go around on the left and still stay on the pavement anyway, so I was a little puzzled as to why he was doing what he was doing, but I was just going to go tell him, yeah, wait a sec, I'll move my truck and you can just go on your way. Once he got to the window and made contact with Rivera, well, he smelled the alcohol, saw the kind of classic signs of intoxication, and everything kind of morphed into, at that point, a DWI investigation.
Is this a community caretaker exception?
If you find it not a Tier 1 encounter, then I think, yes, it is a community caretaking function. Scheffler testified that the reason he approached the truck was to make sure that he saw the people and that he exercised sufficient caution when approaching these people so that he didn't run somebody down in the process of going down the road. Yes, he was going very slow, but that doesn't mean in 15 or 20 feet, if you floor it, you're not going to blaze into a crowd of people. You're going to cause some damage.
Is that undisputed that the officer wanted to make sure the driver knew there was a crowd ahead?
I think that is Scheffler's testimony.
If that's the context, how would the officer communicate that?
I think the only way he could communicate that is by going up to him and saying, hey, be careful down here, there's a bunch of people there.
No opportunity for semaphore, so he's going to have a conversation or a gesture.
If he went out in the middle of the road and started flailing his arms wildly, he might have gotten his attention. Okay. But as the Court of Appeals found, the hand gestures, which Rivera said, if he saw any at all, were apparently misinterpreted, that might not have been a successful action on Shepler's part. And if you're intent on protecting 15 to 20 people, I think you want to make sure that you get his attention sufficient that you can protect those people. So I think this absolutely is a community caretaking function. It's a bit of a twist on what we have typically seen in the community caretaking arena, if you will, because normally when the officer is engaging in the community caretaking, he's dealing with the people in the vehicle. This is dealing with people outside a vehicle, but if we call it the community caretaking, those people outside the vehicle are still part of the community of which care needs to be taken. So I don't see that there's any reason to draw a distinct line between those who are in a vehicle and those who are outside the vehicle. The officer still has the obligation to ensure that everyone is safe to the best of his ability, and community caretaking is one of the means by which that can be done. Your Honors, I think, unless there are additional questions.
You started out by saying you thought it was a Tier 1 encounter.
Yes.
And you've spent quite a bit of time talking about community caretaking. I'm not saying they're inconsistent, but you are not receding from your initial argument that it was a Tier 1 encounter.
No, I'm not. I think that is, if it's a Tier 1 encounter, then frankly we don't get to community caretaking, because if it's a Tier 1 encounter, the Fourth Amendment simply isn't implicated, and then we're done. If you do find it's not a Tier 1, if you find it was Tier 2, an investigative stop, then I think community caretaking kicks in, and I think then under that community caretaking function, then what the officer did was entirely appropriate, and the county district and Court of Appeals were correct in finding it was a community caretaking function.
Thank you.
Unless there are additional questions, we would ask that the judgment of the lower courts, all of them, be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
We have 19 seconds.
19 seconds, Mr. Rappel.
Your Honor, one fact I think gets overlooked is the fact that the officer didn't have the overhead lights activated. But if you look at 60-6.378, it talks about scenarios in which officers should activate overhead lights, make visual and audible notice of people approaching emergency situations. And then it talks about the driver shall drive with due caution and speed. But in this case, the officer never turned on the overhead lights, so he didn't put Mr. Rivera on notice that there was an emergency situation. So I'd ask the court to overrule the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day.